B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
One question. Is it too late to change the name?
Nerd Radio starts now.
Welcome to Nerd Radio. It's another week of Nerd Radio with myself, your host Chuck Bean, along with Al Beck and James, who is not here, unfortunately.
Yes.
Nerd Radio. We will miss him. He's got some important business that does not involve playing Realm Royale? He's got some important...
Yeah. Whatever it is he's playing these days.
Right.
But yeah, no, he had a lot of extra stuff to do this week.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it all took precedence. And honestly, we want to stay on schedule with the Twitch stream, so
yeah.
We couldn't like move the day or anything
right.
like that. So that's why he unfortunately... was not able to join us.
So we put out a call for a replacement, James.
Yes.
And Robbie from Checkpoint XP answered the call.
Challenge accepted.
Exactly. Yes. And he is entertaining us with the drop system that we have yet to use because as I said previously in a segment that you will hear later on tonight because time travel.
This episode's going to be a little timey-wimey.
Yeah, for sure.
You are in the TARDIS.
Yes, we are in the TARDIS.
Yeah, well, that was what I was going to bring up is that the studio reminds me of the TARDIS and that there are like five stations, but we rarely have five people to run all of them.
Yeah.
So it'd be really fun if you actually saw us running around.
Yes, yeah.
While
so
it was happening.
The quick Cliff Notes explanation is we had Jason, fellow producer from Dave and Chuck the Freak, join us because we are going to be talking Joker later in the show.
Absolutely.
And he had stuff to do as well.
Yes.
So we wanted to record that first. We did the whole segment as though it was going to be the first segment and then decided, you know what, let's stick it at the end because it's spoiler heavy and we want people to tune in and listen to as much of the podcast as we can before tuning out.
So we're going to try and entertain you before.
Yes, we're going to try. But yes, spoiler heavy Joker talk coming at the end of the podcast. But I, of course, interrupted before we had a chance to introduce your fiance, who is also filling
in
over there.
Yes, acronym Amy Cooper is also with us.
Sorry, Amy.
It's okay.
Come on, buddy.
Come on.
I'm over here entertaining people on the Twitch stream.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you, because it is up in front of me, and I could be doing that, and I really am dropping the ball over here.
Yeah,
so.
Men aren't made to multitask.
Fine. I'm barely made to task, okay?
That's true.
Christ.
Very true. So let's talk about some of the stuff that happened this weekend that was not the Joker movie. This weekend was the New York City Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of announcements from there, mostly Transformers related, so I will spare you. However,
I was just going to say, where's Jason go? I'm going to go hang out with him.
However, you remember about a month ago I was talking about they were crowdfunding a Unicron figure, the big planet Transformer. They did get enough signatures.
They did.
Enough people signed up for a $650 Transformer toy.
Oh, my God.
To get that.
We just need money.
Yeah.
That's much of it.
That's essentially what it came down to. But I did not. Amy, you will be very delighted to know I did not sign up for a $650 toy.
Hey, I'm not judging.
No, you don't.
You and Tim could split it and share.
I know.
We have parental rights.
Yeah, my friend Tim that is also super into Transformers. We joked about like him having it on the weekends and me having it on the weekdays or something like that.
Shared custody.
Unicron. But one of the things that they did announce at New York City Comic Con I wanted to talk about is the X-Men books, which are wrapping up the Powers of X House of X miniseries this week with Powers of X number 6. And then we'll be moving forward next week starting with X-Men number 1. They announced that part of the second wave in February is a regular Wolverine series.
Oh, so I might have to actually go and get caught up on those then.
Yeah, the Wolverine is coming back with... I got too many buttons to hit over here.
You pretend to try?
I got to hit cameras. I got to read stuff. Writer Benjamin Percy and artist Vignor Bogdanovic, I don't know who that is, and Adam Kubert are going to be doing Wolverine.
No Andy.
Just the Adam.
Just the Adam.
The Twitch people have been watching Robbie the whole time I was
talking. Yeah, it's getting a little awkward over here, guys.
Damn it!
That's what I like is you didn't go for
anyone
the wide shot.
Anyone else want to do their jobs today?
No, I really don't.
No, I never do. That's why I'm making Chuck do everything,
yes.
per usual.
When Chuck gets stuck on me, I just start making faces at the camera like...
That's the thing that is weirdest to me about this is unless like running this, I know which camera is on me. But when James is over here, I never know when the camera's on me.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm always probably for you the best. Then we can see your weird nose.
Oh, you gonna yeah. Are you gonna bring that up? Are you really gonna bring that up? Okay. You trying to? She's trying to start a fight because Robbie. Robbie, of course, is the one that in the Twitch stream a couple of weeks ago said that I have a weird nose, and you know what? I don't. Look at that. Right there.
There you go. Yeah, just, you know, believe in yourself.
Yeah. Good nose. Look at look at that nose. Now look at this nose.
Coming up later on Nerd Radio, an in-depth discussion on psychosis.
Right. Which nose you really like here?
Men do not like nostrils. Oh. If they knew we could shapeshift, they would tell the church.
All right, one of the other things that was happening in New York City Comic Con is Stuart Immonen, who we last saw in Amazing Spider-Man, is coming back for one of Joe Hill's DC horror books. That's pretty important because when he finished Amazing Spider-Man with issue 800, he said that he was retiring until the right project came along, and apparently this was
that was quick.
Yeah.
Well, Joe Hill, though, man, those Lock and Keys, I think that might be the only thing I've read from him.
Yeah.
But
it's probably his strongest work.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely excited to, you know, to
now,
see
will you
more.
Tell me this was going to be a DC property, whatever he's doing?
DC is doing, they're calling it DC House of Horrors. Okay. And Joe Hill is essentially, much in the same way that, what's the guy from My Chemical Romance, the lead singer?
Gerard Way.
Thank you, Amy. I knew she would know that. Much like Gerard Way runs the DC Young Animal imprint, which has Doom Patrol and mm-hmm. all that stuff on it. Joe Hill, make us a bunch of horror books. So that's what he's doing.
Cool.
That's it. No.
I don't know what I don't know if I'll pick it up or not. As much as I liked Lock and Key, that might be, you know, maybe down the road I'll pick it up and trade or something. I don't feel an urgency.
Remember last week I told you guys about the Joker book that was going to be on shelves, the Year of the Villain Joker one-shot. It's written by John Carpenter and Anthony Burch.
Yes, yeah. We were talking about that last week, I believe.
Yeah, I got a chance to flip through it before we did the show today. It wasn't blown away. Okay. But it's definitely, like, if you are a fan of either Anthony Birch, writer of Borderlands, or John Carpenter, who's done so many great movies, it's worth checking out, for sure. So, I don't have it in front of me, otherwise I'd put it in the camera. But.
Right. But this is not one of those things. Every so often you'll bring in a book and talk about it, and you go, do you need me to pick it up for you at the store? And I go, yeah, go ahead and get that.
Right. I'm your dealer.
Yeah, you are. You're the pusher. Right. The comic pusher. So, this one, not really any... Rush.
I don't know. It's just a one shot, and like it was okay.
Yeah.
But it didn't blow me away. Didn't blow me away like, you know, reading The Last Powers of X, number 6. Like every successive issue of the House of X, Powers of X things turns something about the X-Men on its ear.
Norris has been going on and on and on about that too. So I think and Joe need to get caught up on it so we can talk about it one week on our show too.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. It, as a longtime X-Men fan, like the X-Men haven't been this fascinating in probably 20 years.
Have either of you had a chance to check out J.J. Abrams and Sons new take on Spider-Man?
Yeah,
I'm
dug that.
I'm excited for that.
I dug that a lot. That was
I haven't read it, but Chuck brought it in for a show one week and I got to flip through it and he gave us a little bit of the insight on it and it looked really interesting. I like J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, and I think they're doing something interesting, not just with Spider-Man, but they're doing something that I suppose actually has been done before with Batman Beyond, but the idea that you age the hero.
Right.
So instead of just rebooting him or, you know, trying to do some new take on him, where's he at later in his life, and how does that affect everyone around him? And I think it's just a really, really cool concept.
I mean, sort of like Frank Miller did Batman Begins?
Dark Knight
Returns. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. I couldn't remember. Clearly, I've remembered a remarkable amount of things already this week. That's insane.
That's true.
More than normal.
Right.
But I kind of like that idea that was, what, 1986 or something like that. And they're like, well, I mean, he's been around since 1939. How old would he be? Like you were kind of saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of my favorite things about that book, you know?
I'm going to go in a you know, Marvel offices or DC offices and just, like, pick a superhero. And it's like, okay, it's John Constantine with back pain.
Outstanding.
See? And they'll be like, we want at least 12 issues of that. Yeah. I want to see that for sure.
Well, considering you said that you think Thomas and Martha Wayne were taking Bruce home from seeing Space Jam.
Look,
no,
it lines up.
No, in canon, it was Zorro.
It was, but if he was this age now and you aged him back to when he went to the theater, you know what was in theaters at the time?
Come on,
Space Jam.
I'm sorry, I thought it was garbage.
This is what I live with.
That's true.
This has been an argument multiple times, mind you, which is why I pressed that button.
Yeah, exactly. As you either said off mic or in the future in an upcoming thing, you have to be a nerd to be engaged to this
exactly.
man.
Exactly.
For sure. Absolutely. Al, you were telling me over the weekend you got to try out the L.A. Noir.
I did. I got the VR. Yeah, because you had broke that news to me that it was now a VR thing, and so I had to download it.
Right.
You have PlayStation VR?
I do have PlayStation
nice.
VR. Yeah. I've got a. I don't have much on it. I've got the Batman Arkham.
There isn't much on
it. There is true. So much of it is pretty affordable too. They're very small games. Mm-hmm. They're very small games. I mean, I got all the way through the Batman VR. You know, in a couple of hours, if that. You know, I mean, it's very quick. But L.A. Noir, I didn't get through the whole thing, but I played a couple of missions, and I'm finding with the VR games, if you can move, the graphics suffer.
Oh yeah. See, and that's what I think has been holding VR back is what we need is bespoke VR games. Not taking a great game and putting it into VR, because I had Resident Evil 7, which I played in VR, which was fine. And of course, it was scary because it's Resident Evil. It's scary even out of VR.
Right.
But you can tell.
Yeah.
You can tell.
But now, my favorite game that I have on VR is The Bridge Crew, the Star Trek one, which
right.
Chuck and I have played. You didn't do the VR version, but...
Right, but it was hilariously fun.
But visually, that one is phenomenal, but you're stationary the whole time. Mm-hmm. And even in the Batman game, you can move around the map a little bit, but there's predetermined destinations you can select from, so the graphics are better.
Have you seen any of the trailers for this Iron Man VR game that Marvel's developing?
No.
Ooh.
The trailer that I've seen seems like it's just very rail shooty. Like, you know, you're set on a course and, you know, you have to look around and shoot things out of the sky and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I've seen a few people who have actually got to try more than just what they've seen in the trailer. And I'm kind of on the hype fence because, again, VR games can so easily just kind of fall the wayside and feel more gimmicky than anything else. But, I mean, apparently you use the, and this is on Oculus. I don't think it's on the PSVR.
Okay.
I could be wrong, though. But you actually use the controls, like, depending on how you, like, put your hands and whatnot to, like, activate the thrusters and, like, fly around and stuff like that. So some of the reviews that I've seen, the early ones, are saying that it could change the VR game, or it's, like, the first true, really good VR game.
Interesting.
But something to look into.
That was, in my experience, with my brief experience with Oculus VR, like, some of the best stuff is rail shooters,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, playing something along the lines of Panzer Dragoon, though I do love that lightsaber game. Holy crap, that lightsaber game fun.
Is that the Beat Saber?
Yeah.
Hey, phrasing!
it's so fun.
Yeah, that was one of the ones my nephew wanted to get. I got him, I can't remember what the hell it was called. I don't know. I got him another one of the kind of big ones right now where it's, you know.
There was another one. I know I told you about it when I got to play the Oculus Rift, but it was like a robot shooter.
Yeah.
Like you were gunning down robots the whole time, and that was really fun.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think VR is getting close. I mean, that's what I'll say about my experience with it. I'm very happy. Like, I don't think I wasted my money. Mm-hmm. Our boss, our program director, actually just recently got a PlayStation, was kicking around the idea of getting a PSVR, and I was like, dude, it's not that much money.
Right.
I mean, it's not like it's nothing. But it's not that bad.
It's a lot of money to some people.
If
they can find a way to shave another 100, 150 off it so it's more affordable, then I think more developers will look at it as you know, a worthwhile investment going forward and start to develop a little bit more. When you have your AAA publishers, you know, looking into developing for it, Rockstar, Bethesda, even EA, that's when I think we'll start to get some truly, like, game-changing software for it.
Yeah. Well, I do mean, though, like, Chuck, back to that other point, that compared to what I would expect it to have costed, it's more reasonable than I was expecting when I hadn't got it. But I think it's worth it. And like, the L.A. Noir, it was cool. Like I said, the graphic, you get to drive a car, though, and like, you got to grab the steering wheel, and that was a little crazy.
Yeah. Do you have to do it like that huge pantomime steering wheel?
It does look a little bit like that.
Like, you're driving a ship at sea.
We have talked about VR enough on this show, and I don't know, you haven't played the PlayStation VR. I may have to bring the stuff in and let you take it.
Let me
take it for
play
a couple weeks, because I don't play very often at all. if L.A. Noir wasn't set in the 1940s when I was 16.
Right. Well, that was my question about
young again.
That was my question about L.A. Noir. Does it take stuff that you've already played from the original L.A. Noir game and just stick it in VR, or is it new story content?
Let's see. I think it's very similar to the game. It was just sort of case files from that. Like, there's one in particular where there's a bank robbery, and you've got to get in there. And that was actually where I stopped playing it, because you've got a shotgun, and you got to pump it.
Right.
And trying to aim it. And I was just like, okay, what I had going on, I was like, I don't have time to learn how to play this right now. So I set it down, but I had to at least play a little bit so I could talk about it on the show. But yeah, that was a recycled mission. Right.
That was the thing about that robot shooter that I found, you know, really freaking cool, is that you would use pistols. You would have like two pistols, like John Woo style, and you would just drop them, and then you would move your hands down to your sides to pick up two more pistols, which was cool. And then eventually you get a shotgun, which was supposed to be on your back, so you would have to reach back to get a new one. You'd fire it and then drop it and reach back to get a new one. That was how the reload feature worked in it.
Yeah.
It was really cool. It was really cool.
And this one you had to actually like... Shove the shells in the
shotgun. Yeah. Oh Jesus!
Yeah, so it was involved, and like I said, I didn't have time to master it. I'll just have my nephew play it for 3 minutes, and he'll master it.
Right, for sure. Well, let's take a small
settle
break.
Settle down, old man.
I should just play that on a loop.
Yeah, right. Let's take a short break. I got a couple of video game stories to get to as well. The Magic the Gathering Arena tournament was this past weekend. The tournament I told you guys, you and James, about, where you could win one of just about any card or every card. We'll talk about it next because I did try it out. How many games do you think I won?
I'm going to say none.
None? We'll find out if you're right. Okay. Coming up next.
You won nothing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Nerd Radio.
That's cool. I'm taking it back.
What are you, nuts?
I'm taking it back. You watch.
Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio on the podcast page at WRAF.com, all over your social media at Nerd Radio 101, and now our YouTube channel. That's right. You can search us out on YouTube. We've got a couple of clips up there right now. We will be adding more clips as time permits. But you can subscribe to the YouTube channel. Shut up, Al!
No, I'm laughing because that's another new job that came up that I didn't take.
That you didn't? Yeah, you had nothing to do with.
That's somebody else's doing.
Somebody else's job. My name is...
And I just groaned when I got out of my chair to hit pause.
Jeez, Al, you are such a slacking old man.
On an SD card. I didn't even... We talked about, 3 weeks ago, you were trying to explain emoting to me, and I was like, I couldn't be bothered with it.
Yeah, for sure.
Still have no idea.
Using emoticons and stuff like that. No. My name is Chuck Bean. I am joined by Al Beck, my usual co-host. And this week we are joined by Acronym Amy Cooper,
woo-hoo,
who I love dearly, and Robbie Landis, who I love kinda.
What up, though?
Of course, Robbie, part of the Checkpoint XP group. We are streaming live on Wednesday afternoons in the Checkpoint XP studios on their Twitch stream. And as I said, you can find us all over your social media, Nerd Radio 101, on the podcast page, WRAF.com, and in Boston,
Rock929Rocks.com.
Absolutely. So we were talking during the last segment about Magic Gathering Arena. Had a big tournament this weekend, I should say.
Yes. I'm dying to find out how many games that you
I'm
won.
Sure you are. You could win every card in Standard. All you had to do was win 12 games without losing more than twice.
Ooh.
As soon as you lost twice, you were
kind
out.
Of like a gauntlet mode then.
And you could not come back. As soon as you lost twice, you were out.
I bet you won a single time.
A single time?
Yep.
I am sad to report that Al was correct in the last segment. I lost 2 games straight.
Price is right, baby! Close luck going over! Yeah!
You must have been playing in the middle of the night because I didn't hear you swearing.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I lost. I knew it was going to happen that way when they changed everything from Standard to the new stuff.
Excuses.
All the new decks they gave me are terrible, and I need to buy a whole bunch of cards in game.
Definitely not user error, guys.
Of course not.
Not at all.
I am great at radio.
Yeah.
Therefore, it could not have been me.
Sure. All right.
However. You know, it is the new stuff is real neat. They are we're gonna have to have Kyle in here in a couple weeks to talk about some of the new cards in the set because they are based on like fairy tales. So like there's a particular green creature that's called Flaxen Darling or something like that. It's this like 01 blonde girl.
Okay.
But you can play her as a as a spell to summon three bears. It's called Flaxen the Three Bears.
Oh, God.
There's a dwarven mine that you can put down on the table, and like once you have so much so many lands, you can tap the mine and all these lands to make seven dwarves.
Oh, gotcha.
So, you know, it's a lot of neat interplay that where like you're like, aha, it's this. I get it. All right, cool. Yeah.
Is Magic on your radar, Robbie, at all?
A while ago. I mean, I played it growing up, you know, going through college, and there was a point when I had moved in with my college roommate a few years after college that we both sort of got heavy into it and then realized we had spent like $300 worth within like a month. And we're like, no, we can't keep doing this. So I got rid of all but four decks that I keep like in a little box. And I kind of treat it now as like a board game. Like if we want to play something, hey, I got four decks we can bust out and play. But other than that, yeah, not really.
Yeah, that's one of the things I like about Arena is it's super expensive. You can spend money on the digital version of Arena, but you can just like play games. They give you daily quests and you can just, you know, make sure you play 15 red creatures and then in the games today. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, cool.
And yeah, Hearthstone does a lot of the same stuff. And I kept up with that for a little while too, but then they just started coming out with new decks so often or new sets so often.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, no, I can't.
Yeah, it hits a point where like the total amount of cards playable is so large that you can't prepare for everything. Mm-hmm.
And then they start, retiring cards. Now you feel like stuff that you've, been saving up is kind of worthless.
Right.
Just it's a whole cycle.
Card games are weird, man.
They are so weird.
I've never really got into them, any of them. I mean, Magic's obviously a big one. I've heard of it, but any of them, I've never really.
I also have like a collector syndrome. You know, it's the same thing with Pokemon. Like I don't really care about how good I can get. I just want to have everything.
Okay,
which is another reason why when I'm playing card games, even if I know it's a crappy card, I still want to get all of them.
Yeah,
and it's just too much for me. Mm-hmm. Too much.
I was telling Amy on the drive here that we were talking about playing Pokemon Go. And how we have not played Pokemon Go in a long time. And I was
The
only game on my phone I play now is this thing called Marvel Collect. And it's just essentially like just trading cards. It's not even a game. It's just trading cards. You just open packs of trading cards. And you're like, oh, it's a card with Kitty Pryde on it. Sweet.
How do you get the packs?
Every day you log in and they give you so much, coins or whatever to buy the packs. And then you can buy packs. You can
just collecting for the sake of collecting.
You're just collecting cards. It's just you're just collecting trading cards, and that's it. And I'm like, yeah, there's no game involved, really. But I don't have to think about
it.
Yeah,
great.
I wanted to pull up this story. It's too bad James isn't here because he could chime in on it. But Robbie, you might have something on this. There was a site, a story on our website, wrf.com. There's a Fortnite lawsuit.
Oh,
saying that
it
is as addictive as cocaine.
Yep. So Fortnite's being sued by someone up in Canada.
A Montreal-based law firm has filed a lawsuit against Epic Games from the parents of a 10-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Yep. They are alleging that Fortnite is specifically designed to be addictive and to get you coming back again and again and again.
Right.
Which, I mean, first of all, isn't that just the point of entertainment in general?
Isn't that how games work?
Like if it's business in general.
If it's a good game, you want
to
do
it. But apparently, Epic has gone out of their way to get like the best psychologists and scientists and whatever and game designers to make sure that this has the same addictive qualities as cocaine.
Well, I mean, they spent a lot of money to make sure it works, so it works.
They probably
last
spent
time
a
you
lot
heard
of
anybody
money on cocaine.
Dying from.
Well, even at that, though, we're talking about like you end up with a physical chemical dependency on a drug.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it is different. Like you can, become an addict of habit to anything.
Oh, yeah. It's you push button, get good feeling.
Right.
In brain.
You know, I mean, we get the same thing with things like social media. We see all that stuff, the
likes.
The likes releasing dopamine in your brain. And suddenly,
exactly.
And that is there is an addictive quality to it. But you're not getting, again, it's not a chemical dependence.
Well, and unfortunately, with the trend that's been going on in media, I mean, last year I think it was Prince Harry had made a comment, that he's kicked Fortnite out of his house because it's just as bad as drugs. And then you have the World Health Organization over the past few years that has now started to classify gaming addiction as an actual condition. So, I mean, obviously this story and this idea is ludicrous, but it's not going to stop people. The uneducated,
right.
Or the self-educated, I guess we could say, from pursuing these sort of things.
I've definitely felt kind of a brain chemical when I don't get to play. Excuse me. I got that on camera, too. I've definitely felt
Cut away!
When I don't get to play video games for like a day or something like that, there is kind of a like, oh, man. Like I need,
but I mean, that could be said for anything, right?
I'm sure.
If you don't see an acronym here for a few days, don't you miss her?
Oh, absolutely. Maybe not as much as video games.
It's true.
It is not true.
Video games don't judge us.
I don't know, but Netflix does. That's for sure.
That's true.
Yeah. Video games
still watching.
Video games never told me I had a weird nose.
Oh, he's really.
You might not be playing the right games.
Just saying. Yeah. My Mass Effect character, his nose is perfect.
See, for me, I honestly think that like these people are just complaining because they don't discipline their kids.
Oh, for
to
sure.
Not have yeah. boundaries,
right? And some of the sort of fits or tantrums that people describe, like you know, they're like, oh, this isn't normal. You know, my kids didn't do this before video games. You know, I recall a Christmas where my younger sister wanted an iPod. Specifically, she needed an iPod, and you know, she got an off-brand MP3 player that worked just as well.
Right.
And we had ruined her life. We had ruined Christmas. She threw all her other presents on the ground and locked herself in her room all day and wouldn't talk to anyone. And Fortnite wasn't around back then, so
sure. Right.
Maybe my sister was just a brat.
Yeah, right.
Or maybe she needed to go in her room so she could sync that off-brand iPod to, you know, get all her songs out there. That's that took all day.
Also, abandoned presents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
score
right.
one
yeah.
for Robbie.
Yeah.
Woo! No, I mean, like, I think there is... Well, I think they're doing themselves a disservice by comparing it to cocaine, because there is any sort of mental addictive property to things like gaming,
sure.
or social media or Netflix, you know, any of that stuff. If you don't watch it and you don't have moderation and balance.
Right.
But when you start
says
comparing
the, it. Says the guy that watches a lot of Star Trek on the weekends.
A lot of Star Trek, a lot of MASH. You have trouble letting go.
I guarantee you'd play Spider-Man a lot longer than you do if it didn't make you sick to your stomach.
Oh, I'd have been done with that game in like a week.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have played the hell out of it.
But I don't think there's anything specific about Fortnite that you can make any arguments against.
Not at all. It's any game.
Only yeah. thing that I will say about Fortnite, and this is, I think, a dangerous precedent that, I mean, they've now set because you see something like Apex Legends emulating it,
right.
is that they churn out so much content. That's what gets people coming back every time. You know,
yeah.
there's always something new to do. You never get to a point where you're like, all right, I've gotten all that I can. I'm going to take a break for a while. You want to constantly keep on playing it. I mean, you know, there have been rumors around the industry that the Epic development team is in constant crunch because you always have to have something new for the people who are playing to grind for, you know, to get, to be working for. And so I think that's one thing that Fortnite and the sort of games as services that they do has started, because even with a massively multiplayer online, you know, role-playing games.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Before it was Fortnite, it was World of Warcraft.
Right, but they would always have sort of, you know, 3 to 4 month cycles where obviously there was enough to always play, but some people could, you know, play for a few weeks, feel like they've accomplished something, and then kind of take a break for a while until the next big piece of content comes out.
Right.
You can kind of do that with Pokemon Go, though, too. Initially, when it started, everybody
yeah.
was in the parks, everybody was out doing it.
Mm-hmm. And then once you've caught everything,
driving with
see.
It,
yeah,
making
yeah.
bikes with 8 phone holsters, you know.
Oh, have
stuff
you seen
like
the picture
that?
Of the guy over in Japan who had like,
yeah.
who has, like 20
all on, his
on
bike.
There?
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
my God.
It's insane. But I remember, like, you remember how obsessed I was with it when we
oh,
started?
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
We were moving, and he's like, we don't want to live here. There's no Pokestops here. Like, it was one of those things, but...
You
like,
have
if
a
you're,
problem.
If you're not, you know, if you're not doing other things with your life, I mean, that might be it. And kids, a lot of the time, if it's mostly kids that play Fortnite, right? Yeah.
Look, well, I'll say this. I don't play Fortnite, and I don't do shit. So...
Touche.
Look, there were other reasons I didn't want to live in that particular apartment. But the Pokestops were the first thing that I thought of to tell you about.
Exactly.
That maybe I could use your Pokemon Go addiction.
Yeah.
It's funny.
No Pokemon, also Slumlord.
Right.
It's like, exactly.
It's fun to talk about this video game addiction thing, too, in the room with her when we got Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and, like,
yeah.
the Switch disappeared for about 7 days.
It literally was like 40 hours and I beat the thing.
Yep.
And then he's like, to a point, he brought the game in the room, set it down like he was going to play something. And I picked it up and started playing it. And he like turned and was like, I was gonna
gotta get your own Switch, man. That's the first thing that I did last Christmas was buy one for my girlfriend.
Buy one.
Yeah. I've been saying because they were coming out with that smaller one. I'm like, I don't want the smaller one.
No. But they also came out with an upgraded version of the original that has longer battery life.
There we go. So
on my Tetris 99.
Yeah, for sure. That's some addictive right there.
Oh yeah,
Al, you've never felt the video game addiction, right?
No, I've had games that I have occasionally been attached to enough that I spent a lot of time on it. But, right. I mean, I've been in and out of gaming. You know, I don't – and right now I'm at an all-time low with
right.
it all.
What about you, Robbie? Has there ever been a game that you're like
– Oh, for
when,
sure.
When
you know,
I dropped
out of college because of gaming. So
what?
Yeah, the whole MMO thing. I mean, there was a time where I was waking up at like 6, 7 o'clock. You know, to go to class or whatever. And then coming home and playing, you know, Final Fantasy XI or World of Warcraft, you know, into the wee hours of the night.
Jeez.
And, if it was a class that I wasn't interested in, I went to CMU for acting, right? So if it was like a science class or math class or something like that, I'd, you know, find an excuse to not go and just play games. So for sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's how Robbie got subpoenaed for the cocaine v. Fortnite lawsuit.
Well, I think it worked out for me. Look where I am now.
On Nerd Radio. It really worked out for
you. In my studio. In Checkpoint Studio. The other guys are going to be crap for that later. It's our studio.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. We're the guests.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
But we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the Joker movie, which released last week. We've got Jason from the Dave and Chuck the Freak Show, and we actually recorded that segment first.
Yes, we went out of order.
Yeah, so
the point being, we decided to go. Everyone in the room had seen the movie, so we went spoiler heavy. But we recorded it first because Jason had to get back to something. So yes. If you have not seen Joker yet and you don't want to listen to spoilers, you can turn the podcast off at this point. You know, and maybe come back after you see it because, you know, we'd love to hear your thoughts.
Absolutely.
When we get around to that. But that's why it's going to sound like the first segment because it was originally supposed to be.
Yes.
So anyway.
So that's coming up for you next. And then we'll be back next week with some Nerd Radio. Rob, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We absolutely
appreciate
it.
In my own studio.
Yeah. Absolutely appreciate you letting us use your studio and coming in to join us.
No problem.
Feel free to join us in here anytime.
Can I just, like if you guys are in here recording, if I want to, I can just walk in?
Absolutely.
I usually don't get in. I don't wake up till a bit later. You guys are usually halfway through your show.
No, please do.
That's how it normally would go.
That's you can part
just
of the fun.
Like, people just walk in the middle of it and yell things and walk back out.
So. That's how I got here.
Yeah, that's how I got here.
And they kind of gave you a bit of a job pressing a button.
I know. And I had to get up and walk, and I groaned the entire time. Oh! It's usually right in front, and I actually the sad thing is I groan when I all have to do is lean over the table.
Yeah.
The same thing. Ah, Jesus.
Yeah. All right, well, as always, follow us on our social media at Nerd Radio 101. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you check us out on YouTube. There are plenty of Nerd Radios, but you'll see our smiling faces in a couple of clips, so you'll know which one is us. It's at Nerd Radio 101. And before we go, Acronym, you've actually got a review of the Joker movie on your website?
I do. If you go to acronymofficial.com/zine, you should be able to find it up there. You'll see that still shot of the Joker saying, put on a happy face on his mirror. So that would be the one to read.
See how professional I am? I call her by her professional name. I don't call her Amy.
I know. Yeah, right. You don't want anyone to know it's Amy.
That's right.
I secretly came into this building today. Nobody knew I was here.
I smuggled her in. Now I got to smuggle her out.
All right.
Nerd Radio returns.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Nerd Radio.
I won nothing.
Right.
I won absolutely nothing. There's no prize to win here. We're all losers. Welcome to Nerd Radio on the podcast page at WRIF.com, as well as in Boston on, give it to me now,
Rock929Rocks.com.
Thank you very much. My name is Chuck Bean. I'm joined by my co-host, Al Beck. We are typically joined by James from Dave and Chuck the Freak. He had some business to attend to.
Yeah, you've heard of being double booked. I think he was quadruple booked today.
Sure.
So he just did not have, he just couldn't. So,
right.
But we got 3 people to fill in for him.
Yeah, well, yeah, I put the call out for a replacement James.
Yeah.
And everybody answered.
It took three people.
We've got a room full of people.
Yep. It is a big man thong to fill.
It's a very big man thong to fill.
It's fair. We are joined by Acronym, whose voice you just heard.
Mm-hmm.
We're also joined by Checkpoint XP's Robbie.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about being a guest in my own studio.
Yeah, isn't it weird?
Well, Robbie's got some controls over there that I am delighted with, and we may have to bring him back more often.
Just to run the drops?
Yeah.
For sure. Absolutely. We're also joined by Jason from the Dave and Chuck the Freak Show today.
I feel great at being an honorary nerd for this.
Yes.
We appreciate having you in here.
It's nice.
We appreciate having you in here, and the reason we've got a full room is because this week was the Joker movie, which many of us did. Robbie, did you get a chance to go and see it?
I did. I did indeed.
All right.
So
we got a room full of people who have all seen it, so if you have not seen it, sorry, we're about to spoil the out of it.
Yeah. DMX is here, too.
I told you, it's a full room, man. Like, you know what I was thinking when we found out that we were going to have to do this, kind of on our own here? Is that...
kind of on our own. How long have you and I been doing this podcast together?
No. When it was like, okay...
James has been here for 7 months and we forgot how to do Nerd Radio.
Right, but James runs the Twitch stream.
Yeah.
So, like, I have to... So if the video is terrible today, it's on me.
Yeah.
But
I put my foot down that I was not going to be doing that.
Right,
you can put it on me. I don't care.
No, I knew it was up to me to do it. But the thing that occurred to me is like I enjoy this studio specifically because it reminds me of the TARDIS.
Oh yeah, it's around.
Everything is centralized and like I essentially it's built for five people.
Yeah.
But when we come in here, we're only three people, so we're essentially running it like the doctor.
It does seem a lot bigger on the inside, too.
It's true.
Yeah.
For sure.
And the doctor doesn't always know what buttons he's pushing either. So
neither do I.
Also
exactly.
True. Yeah.
But the real reason we are here this week is to talk about the Joker. Once again, if you have not seen it, this is going to be pretty spoiler heavy. So you may want to, skip this week's Nerd Radio or maybe fast forward about 20 minutes and check out the rest of the podcast. But if that's too much work for you, I understand. Absolutely.
Yes.
So here we go. The Joker, the DC Comics movie based on the Batman villain released this weekend, did surprisingly well at the box office.
It did. It did very well,
I would say. Yeah. I had it up here, but I have so many buttons to hit that I need to look at it again. Let's go around the table, though. What did everybody – you went and saw it, Al, on
Saturday night.
Saturday.
Yeah. Do we want to just go around thumbs up and thumbs down real quick and see if we're on the same page? A thumbs up for me.
Yeah.
Give it a thumbs up.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine.
Oh.
Thought it was okay.
We'll circle back to that.
Amy's giving the thumbs up for sure. I thought it was good. I thought it was a good movie. I don't know that I want another one.
Okay. Yeah.
I can agree with that right there for sure.
Yeah.
There's no reason for a sequel for that.
Right.
Now, do you mean you don't want a sequel? You don't want more of Joker? Or do you not want another movie like that? Like they do a Riddler version of that movie. Is that what you mean?
Okay. That's the thing is that I walked out of the theater and I told Amy, I was like, I want more movies like this.
Okay.
And less movies like Dark Phoenix.
I think everybody can agree with that.
I still haven't watched. I bought the Blu-ray and it's sitting on my shelf.
So Chuck's over here saying the equivalent of, I would like less people to punch me, but please bring me more cake.
Okay, yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. No, and in saying that.
Also, who has cake? That's what I want to know now.
Yeah, no, cake. What I mean by that is that I like that the movie felt like it did not take anything specifically from any particular comic and try and adapt it. It took the essence of a character and wrote a story around, like, what if this was what happened, and that's why he becomes this monster serial killer kind of thing.
It was also so safe, though.
Do you feel
that? I think, that was my biggest problem, was walking out of it. I felt like the movie itself, that director Todd Phillips didn't take any of his own liberties. He didn't take any risks. He didn't have any vision of his own. It was just, hey, this guy goes crazy and becomes the Joker.
Okay.
Interesting.
I guess I can see that.
You know, in a similar way that actually, you know, there's a point in the movie where he says that he doesn't believe in anything.
Yeah.
I feel like the movie, and whether or not it was purposeful or not, kind of took that same sort of standpoint that this isn't really about anything. And, well, I guess that makes sense with the character a little bit. I also don't think that it's the best stance to take for the movie itself. That's why it kind of just hit middle of the road for me.
Okay. No, I can see that totally. And that's why I wanted to have everybody that's in this room to have this discussion, because I feel like everybody can walk away from a movie like this with different feelings that you can key in on different things.
No, and I am glad that we have an opinion that's like, it wasn't bad, but, you know, it was what it was. Because I think the rest of us thought it was great. Jason, I mean, you loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I love the real world take on it for what it was. You know, as a guy who, you know, I'm on Nerd Radio, but isn't like super in depth into most of the comic books.
Sure.
It gave me a chance to see a movie with a real world depiction of a character and see like what could actually turn you into a villainous person, you know.
Yeah.
So from somebody outside of the realm, I think it's very interesting to see, you know, like how that could develop and what could really make you be as like much of a lunatic as somebody like the Joker was, you know, because I think if you remove it from the comic books area,
right,
it could be an amazing like Oscar worthy standalone movie on its own, just for like the drama and what it was all about. And when you put it, you know, through a lens of a familiar story like the Joker, I feel like that's what also drew me to go, because if you just said it was like this thriller movie, I might have stayed away from it if I didn't have some familiarity of like what this guy was going to end up being.
Yeah, because you're not really super nerdy, like it's super nerdy stuff. I mean, you kind of like Star Wars.
Yeah, I like Star Wars. And
you'll,
you know,
see like the Marvel movies, but you're not super into it. You don't read the comics or anything like that. And obviously you're familiar with Joker and Batman.
Yeah, I know all the characters. You know, I played a lot of the video games and I grew up around it. I just don't have any like super in-depth
You're not attached
things
to,
like that.
To it
yeah.
in ways that other people, you know, absolutely can be.
Yes.
You don't have a tattoo of the Joker like somebody in this room.
I don't.
Right.
I don't.
I can agree with Robbie, though, honestly, because it's even though I really liked it, everything, I don't feel like they necessarily had a good grasp on where they were going to go with it until the twist at the end. But I also
really a twist?
Not really, but I also look at it from the mindset of, I feel like the media hyped this up so much, that's why it's so successful, because people wanted to know how screwed up it was going to be.
Sure.
And it really wasn't that screwed up. I've seen worse things in Training Day.
There was like, what, one really graphic scene, and the rest was just, you know, gun violence and
I was
and
like,
whatnot.
Wow, you guys massively exaggerated how violent this is. I don't feel like it's that violent at all. I mean, yeah, I watch Hannibal once a week, but at the same time, I don't feel like it was that violent.
That sets the bar.
I mean, kind of,
when
you know.
When it comes to violence.
I'm
going
to need you to train the camera on acronym for the rest of the show
for
evidence.
Just to make sure. just in case.
Well, you know,
something were to happen to any of us.
Take into consideration, because first of all, one of the things that I've been hearing from a lot of people is, oh, this is the first like artsy comic book film that they've made, and that's why it's so great. But, you know, what about Logan? What about Watchmen? Mm-hmm. What about Sin City?
Oh, for sure.
You know, and I think all of those also sort of come up to the same level of violence in one way or another as well. So, yeah, to me, this movie didn't really do anything new or different. You know, you had actually brought up the fact that it's set more in you know, the real world, that is a cool aspect. And I actually think that had they not actually called it the Joker, had they just based it on the Joker and taken a few more liberties, they could have had a few more twists in there, you know? Because we know he's the Joker, I hope you're not rooting for him as we're going through the movie, or that anyone anticipated, well, maybe he won't turn, you know, maybe we'll have a happy ending.
Right.
It's the Joker. We knew that wasn't going to happen. But had it not been the Joker and been something more original, and again, had Phillips sort of put his own vision and twist on this, it could have. I think that would have, I don't know how it would have sat with fans, but I would have really respected if we got to the end of this and he did save himself somehow. You know, he didn't end up going down that path.
Well, not to get too serious about the whole thing, I think
why
so serious? I think the whole part of it is the fact that he goes through this thing about being in poverty and losing connection to get his medication. And then he just does this downward spiral. And this happens in real life.
Like, yes.
Been there. You know, so for me, I kept looking at it going, this could happen to almost anybody. Mm-hmm. Anybody could become this maniac if they're not, you know, don't have access to medication, don't have access to help, that sort of thing. And I think that they were trying to make that point. And I could see the point because I've been through that. But I don't think that people who haven't been through that see that point.
And even getting proper help, because at one point he's with the therapist and he's like, are you even listening to me?
Yeah, because she was just asking, did you bring your journal? Did you do this or that?
I think it does make, like, obviously we weren't expecting a happy ending, a different ending for the Joker, but I did think it made him more of a sympathetic character. Not forgivable, he's still murderous.
Yeah, that's the important distinction, I think, is that he, by the end of this movie, has a body count and has and is a, you know, a, on his way to becoming the monster that we know from all other mediums. But you do kind of get a sense of, I know that I walked out of this movie thinking, especially with the connection to Bruce Wayne that happens in this movie, like 20 years need to go by before Bruce Wayne is old enough to be Batman. And that makes the Joker in his 40s. And I don't want to watch a 20-year-old rich kid in a bat costume who wanted for nothing other than the fact his parents died beating the crap out of a 40-year-old guy with mental problems that society has failed.
Well, you know, going back to your point, Acronym, first of all, the fact that in The Killing Joke, there's a line that Joker says that, you know, any person is only one bad day away from becoming me. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that they easily could have focused a bit more on, right? Because obviously, if you know the Joker mythos, you can pick up those types of hints. But you're right, they didn't really go that hard into it. They didn't really pick like a bottom line or a message to put out there. And what I thought would have been really interesting, because once he starts going off of his meds, obviously he's still a lunatic, for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah.
But he becomes more confident. He becomes more sure of himself. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, it's society that determines, you know, who's crazy and who's not crazy. But this idea that maybe society putting him on these medications, putting him through these treatments, that's what kind of started to mess him up. Because they're like, you know, the history that you've had growing up the way you did, of course you're crazy. Take all this medicine. Maybe had he grown up not going through all of that, he would have been a bit more stable. Yeah. But because of what society put him through, now that he's off the medication, he starts to see things a lot more clear. And I think sort of playing with that a little bit more, that am I the way I am because of myself or because of society, could have been really interesting.
And I think it leveled out a little bit more on the society end, at least in my mind, because it's like he goes to Arkham and gets the files on his mom, who isn't his mom. And he starts to realize, okay, my mom has issues, but I'm not biologically related to her. So I don't know if it's a Stockholm Syndrome type thing, too, of him having more issues than he actually did to begin with.
Mm. Right,
but he was abused as a child. They said that they found him like tied up to a radiator.
Which he has completely blocked out. That's
exactly.
You know, sitting down in his psyche somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And I think that they could have left out all notion of Zazie Beetz. That didn't need to happen. If they took that out and they put more substance to bring him to the point that he's at, I feel like it would have made a little bit more sense. But there was no need for the relationship
when
angle.
I had first heard that there was like a girlfriend figure, I'm like, what? That doesn't make any sense for the Joker at all.
I feel like they might have put that in there just to dispel the incel comments that got made. Like maybe that was an afterthought, because I didn't pull an incel thing from this at all.
I felt like
it was like low income and mental health.
I wish I could clearly remember, but there is something in one of his lines that feels like it was pulled right off the internet. Like right off something I've seen some incel say on Twitter or something like that. And I was like, but then he says, you know, there's a lot of the whole like, you know, anti, you know, rich people going on in there too. And that's,
I felt a lot more eat the rich than anything.
And that's obviously from like the other political end of the spectrum kind of thing. I told you when we got done, I felt like I was being told things that politically I have agreed with in the past, but I was being told them by somebody I do not like at all.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's weird, too, because it's like he ends up with that still of him with the mirror where it says put on a happy face. And he says, like, we're always told that we need to be happy and be nice to people and all this other stuff. But everybody is total shitbags to each other.
Right.
Sorry.
Thanks, DMX.
He covered it up.
Yeah, exactly.
But I felt like this movie was kind of a reflection in that aspect of we're seeing what society is really like through the eyes of somebody that is as low as possible. And
sure,
we don't really like to be reminded that we're assholes.
Animals! They're all just animals!
Right.
And that right there is why Robbie's going to have to join us every single week from now on.
I love it.
What did every
just signed him up. He's agreed to nothing.
You've been drafted.
Yes,
in your own studio.
He's being expected.
We'll talk about payment later.
All right,
I'll pay you half what I'm making to do this.
here's a hint. 0 times 0.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What about the performance though of Joaquin Phoenix?
I will say that is the one part of the film that definitely stands above the rest, regardless of what I think about it. Joaquin Phoenix as Arthur Fleck as the Joker was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. Jason, how'd you feel?
Yeah, I think him in that role is a big part of what made the movie so good for me. You know, I don't know if
the acting wasn't as good, would the movie have been as good? You know, I think he carried that.
It was mesmerizing.
The role on his own, and his transformation is reminiscent of like Christian Bale in The Machinist, like how much weight he was able to lose.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Actually, like
ribs were poking
like,
out,
like disfigurement, and like almost looked like he was like a totally different person.
And the dancing.
Yeah,
dancing was it's all, I mean, it's mesmerizing. It was fascinating.
I can see too where he has said in interviews that like that's not a headspace he really wants to revisit. Like seeing the movie itself, I can see where like, yeah, I would be proud of the work I did, but I don't know that I'd ever want to go back to it.
Well, we were kind of talking about that, Jason, about some of the stories about him walking off set, you know, and then watching the movie and kind of be like, oh my God, like this guy had to put himself in this, the mindset he would have had to put himself in to be this character.
Well, right. They had a segment of him like that they showed on, I don't know if it was Kimmel or Fallon, but it was him like saying bad things about the cinematographer in character to try to like amp himself up. And when they played it, they didn't prepare him for it. That they were going to play it. So he kind of got that whole thing that he got from the talk show host in the movie.
Sure.
They did the same thing to him in real life. And he was like, can we move on, please?
Like, yeah, I can't deal
with
that.
And that's something to be said of like, at least I loved Heath Ledger's version of the Joker, but it would be interesting to see if Joaquin goes off the deep end again, because he's done it before.
Yeah.
But if you can come out of being a method actor playing the Joker and not being messed up, I wonder if that's something you could do. Because Jared Leto's already messed up.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he has to have therapy for stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Michael B. Jordan, in order to get out of the mindset of playing Killmonger in Black Panther, had mentioned that he had to go to therapy to help remove himself from that as well.
And Josh Brolin came to the defense of Joaquin Phoenix too on Instagram. He was he wrote like a whole big thing about the movie and was just saying that he did an amazing job, but like this is the mindset that you have to be in to see it. Is it if you have gone through some trauma, you probably get it more. So
it's not just flipping a switch for sure.
No, not at all.
He's gonna need to change his laugh also, because he can't just be going around laughing that way. You get so used to like, and then you gotta like make sure you.
They're gonna hear you in your Jew cave just cackling.
On the point about Joaquin Phoenix carrying it, though, I feel like that's a trend for a lot of Todd Phillips movies. You know, would Due Date have been as funny as it was if it wasn't for Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis?
Sure.
Would the Hangover movies have been as funny as they were without the cast that they had?
Mm.
It's true.
Yeah, for sure. While we're speaking about the laugh, how did everybody feel about the character having like a Tourette's that caused him to laugh at inappropriate times? Because that could have come off really kind of dopey, but I felt like the pain on his face when it would occur.
Well. Yeah.
I thought it was handled well. I felt like, oh wow, that's a terrible burden.
It got worse and worse as time went on too. At first it was like he looked like he was fine, but then as time went on, like with the guys in the subway.
Yeah.
He was like, you could tell he was trying to rein it in and he couldn't, and then he just kinda lost it.
He looked like it was physically painful that he was laughing and could not stop himself from doing so.
But what I like about it is at the end, it almost seemed that he let it go and became okay with his laugh, because he realized that his mom had been telling him that there was something wrong with him, like that he wasn't supposed to feel that way.
Right.
That's why laughing was uncomfortable.
Right.
But once he sort of moved past that and saw that like he was becoming the Joker almost and was being like welcomed by that whole crowd, like after being on the police car, that I think it's set up a good way to be like, well, maybe he's not comfortable. Like, it just makes him more of the villain, that he's comfortable with.
Sure.
Like, his uncomfortable feelings are okay with him now, because he believes like that there's nothing wrong with the way he's feeling.
He has that line where he says, I always thought that my life was a tragedy. So that way, when he would laugh, he's being told that you're laughing at something you should be sad about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But once he says it's a comedy, he realizes I'm laughing not because stuff's sad or I shouldn't be. It's because it's funny.
Right.
I'm laughing because it's funny. Mm-hmm.
You did mention like you kind of compared it to like an involuntary Tourette's almost.
Right.
I think is interesting the way you described it that way. Did anyone else have the experience when they went to the movie theater that people were laughing at really uncomfortable moments?
Inappropriate moments?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was always like a person up front and a person behind you. It was always like one or two people that would laugh. And you're like, there's nothing funny happening.
That's like, what's up? What's going on with you?
Yeah, yeah. Like, are they crazy or are they uncomfortable?
Congratulations, you've identified the psychopaths.
Yeah. Right. Did anybody in here catch the whole Gary Glitter part of the dancing. Did anybody have like a Red Wings resurgence in your system, or was that just me?
Yeah,
because it started playing Gary Glitter's "Hey" song while he's dancing on the steps, and Red Wings. Yes.
this is a Red Wings song.
People are so
here?
Mad about it though because he's been convicted as a pedophile or something like that, so that he's getting royalties for this now.
Sure.
But there's the argument of like everybody's still listening to Michael Jackson too.
So. Right.
Yeah. And I'm sure that like there was a lot of when they were doing it, they were like, well, it has to be this song. Like, this song is perfect for what's going on in this scene.
I think they said that Joaquin actually asked for that song.
Yeah.
Like, that was what was going on in his head at the time. But the music was really good. Like, I didn't feel like it was as in your face as like Suicide Squad, where it was just like, okay, and musical entrance, you know, so.
If I had one complaint about it, I feel like you could have done almost the entire movie without at all mentioning the Wayans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we.
I don't mind it, but I also agree that it was not necessary.
We've complained about it before. The last time they decided that they needed to show us Thomas and Martha Wayne getting shot, like it's the Uncle Ben of the DC universe. Like, I know
the pearls.
It happened.
There's the pearls again. Yeah.
Although I will say that was one of the small things that I found interesting was the idea that the Joker created Batman, because throughout most of his mythos, the idea is that when Batman emerges, that, you know, forces the crime element to adapt and sort of evolve to match him. And the idea that the Joker inadvertently created Batman. And then when you look at the way that how he's obsessed with him, the same way that he was obsessed with Thomas being his father, it's this really weird kind of messed up maybe father-son dynamic almost. So it's interesting. Again, it's not something that's really explored all that much. And I think actually still done in the 1989 film. First, so it's still a lot of imitation on Phillips' part, but it was still interesting.
And I appreciate that in the 89 film, it is specifically Jack Napier that kills Thomas and Martha Wayne, whereas
this one definitely
has no real connection to what happens to the two of them. Mm-hmm. It's
anarchy
just the anarchy
goes.
That happens because of him.
I do think it's important, though, because Thomas Wayne is one of the people that makes the riots a little bit worse by calling all of these people that are lower income, lower class, don't have a job, clowns.
True.
And then the next thing you know, there's all these clowns everywhere. And so it kind of helps fuel the Joker's fire to
That is true. I like that point that you're making, because you could get the same result with somebody else, but would it go as far if it wasn't a Wayne making that comment? So, yeah, no, I'll give you that. But again, like Chuck said, I mean, I don't mind that it happened. You know, but if the Waynes weren't in it at all, it would have been fine. Because that's one of the things that I did like about this, and Jason and I have talked about this, that it takes a familiar theme, you know, mental illness, and this poor guy who never really had a chance and becomes an insane killer and all that. But it's just with a familiar skin. You could tell that story without it having any connection to Batman or being the Joker. It just sort of makes it more familiar.
I might have actually enjoyed that more had it not been the Joker, because then I think you can allow yourself to feel for him and hope that maybe by the end some miracle happens. Yeah. You know, someone shows up who can actually help him out in some way.
Go watch Requiem for a Dream, then.
Don't do that.
I'm sure this decision won't haunt you forever.
That's it. Robbie's permanently on Nerd Radio.
Somebody in your stream, by the way, is asking, is this a go to the theater and see the movie, or is this a wait till it's released movie?
Well, let's go around the table. I think I have to admit that I did sit in that theater a little bit fearful that possibly somebody who has mental illness might be identifying too strongly with this movie and sitting there with a firearm just waiting for their moment.
There was I forget which state it was in, but there was a theater where someone had walked in with a backpack and like went up in front of the screen and just stood there like surveying the audience long enough to where everyone just started leaving themselves.
Nope.
Yeah.
I'm out. I don't care. I don't care if tickets were $15. I'm out.
There was like a scandal of someone put up a sign at an AMC pretending that like you could only go in if you had a couple. Like that you weren't an NPC.
Oh, the arc light systems or whatnot sign.
Yeah,
yeah, basically
like
saying
that.
Any white males, unless you can prove that you've recently had sex in the last year, you're not allowed to enter.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And then it ended up finding out the guy that was trying to like throw them under the bus was the one that put up the sign.
Oh my God.
But
all
Al, right. what do you think?
Is this, I say go to the theater.
Go to the theater and see it.
Jesus. I mean, I don't know. Like all those stories are obviously very rare, the ones that we just talked about. They are going to make news, mostly because of the shooting that took place during the Dark Knight, and that's a lot of where all that came from. But I say that's so rare, that's hardly even a risk.
Yeah.
Well, if it comes down to it, not to interrupt you, but like people were literally saying, don't go see Dark Knight Rises for that reason.
Right.
Because that you could get shot. And I'm like, you can get shot anywhere.
You can get shot anywhere, anytime. And like I mentioned before, the people kind of laughing at inappropriate moments. There was something about the atmosphere in the theater that added something to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like seeing a comedy that's funnier when you see it with other people.
Right.
Or by yourself. So, I mean, if you wait till it's out on DVD, Blu-ray, on demand, whatever, I mean,
it's still going to be good.
It's still going to be good, but if you have the time to go to the theater, I mean, I would say that there's an atmosphere to it that that'll add to it.
What about you, Jason?
I think you should go to the theater. There's some movies that being in like on the big screen, as they say, you know, that really like add to what the movie was.
Right.
I feel like my review would have been lessened if I was just watching it at home versus being like in that environment and that atmosphere, like Al was saying. And if you do watch it at home, just make sure like it's under the right guise. Like when I watched Chernobyl, I did it during the day.
Okay.
And I felt like weird with the shades drawn, you know, it's like this really dark movie that I'm watching. And then I'm thinking of taking inventory of myself, you know, like maybe I should open the blinds. Something's like going on here, but I would go to the theater. I think it's worth it.
Yeah, Robbie?
Yeah, see, I do think that going to the theater can change the way that you view certain movies. You know, I watched the original Pacific Rim just at home on a computer screen and felt like I really missed out not going to
the
theater.
That's how I felt when
this.
I finally saw Pacific Rim. I was like, damn it, I should have seen these giant robots and monsters in a
unfortunately,
big movie
I don't think that the Joker is one of those. I think you can just wait to like watch it on a plane or something.
Yeah.
On a plane.
Yeah.
All right, Robbie is off of Nerd Radio.
Well, it was short lived.
You got to back off now.
Amy, did you give an answer? Did you?
I've given many answers. I apologize. I'm very overpassionate.
Is it a theater movie or
theater
is it
movie?
I definitely would say it's a theater movie, even though I did feel that same thing with like you were saying, like you're kind of worried. Like one point, I heard somebody like make a noise, and I kind of tensed up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's, you know, I think that hearing it as loudly as you can, as around you as you can immerse yourself in any story. So a lot of the time I agree with theater over even watching it at home for the first time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think it adds to the uncomfortableness of the movie too, being in public with other people who are also very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The ones that want to, you know, punch Sarah Connor for the previews or the ones that are snoring.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. The guy, this is, I've been, the other, I don't remember what the other movie was. I think it was one of the Spider-Man movies, but we went to the same theater. And I swear it was almost the same dude that was sitting right next to me that fell asleep in the middle of the movie and just started snoring.
I would find that troubling if you can just take a nap during the Joker.
Right, right. Yeah, well, but then again, speaking of laughing at inappropriate moments, if James were here, he would let you know that I laugh at inappropriate moments myself. So.
Well, that's true. That is true.
What was it? Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yes. Whenever
somebody would get murdered, I would laugh.
And if James found that very troubling.
He did.
Yeah. It's all bad.
It's all bad. Yeah.
It's all bad.
So, like I said, well, James, of course, isn't here because he's, you know, got a bunch of stuff going on. And Jason did join us. We had a few people on the chat screen very excited that you were here, Jason.
Yeah, well,
that's good. At least somebody is.
We've got the Jew. Sound the Jew horn on the chat screen. Yeah, his name is Jason.
When I'm off of the show, I just go by Jason.
His name is Jason.
You know, I introduced myself to somebody here at the station, and he didn't know. Like he was confused that I didn't introduce myself that way.
Right, right. That's my character name. Yeah, that's not my real name.
Yeah, I just play one on the show.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. It's funny. Hi.
Well, the last point I want to make before we wrap this up, or unless you had something else to add.
No.
Well, the first impression we got of this movie really was they revealed the makeup. And personally, when I first saw the Joker makeup, my reaction was, I mean, I don't know about this. It looks kind of silly.
Awkward.
Pretty much. And I've really felt like, you know what, I'm putting some faith in Joaquin Phoenix because I'm such a big fan of his.
Sure.
But I'll tell you, after seeing the movie and seeing the character's path, I love the makeup, and I thought it fit the movie and the tone that they set, and the fact that he sort of changes the makeup at the end.
I love that the suit he is wearing at the end of the movie is almost exactly the suit of the action figure from like 1989, the one that they made for the movie, the Tim Burton Batman movie that looked nothing like Jack Nicholson but looked like comic book Joker. Like, it's the exact suit.
Yeah,
you know, there's actually another interesting quote by Todd Phillips. You know, after the opening weekend here, where he said that this particular story isn't even necessarily the Joker. You know, he didn't put much stock in that, which again I think is more of him just middling and not making a decision.
Right.
But he also put out the idea that maybe these events are what actually end up inspiring who becomes the real Joker.
For sure. Yeah, and that's the ambiguity of the character is probably one of my favorite things when it comes to that particular Batman villain, is the idea, like when you watch The Dark Knight and he has all of these stories and you don't know which of them are any of them true?
Which is the same thing that they always do in the comics. Even when they finally gave him like an actual, this is his origin story,
right,
at the end of it, he goes, but every time I remember it, it's different.
Yeah.
Well, in that Harley comic that you brought home too.
Right.
He's telling all these different therapists a different story, and Harleen's going through every video going like, this guy doesn't have an origin story. He just tells a different story every time.
Yeah.
When she talks to him about one of them, he's like, oh, I love that one. It's so good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jason, for coming in.
No problem.
I know you've got some stuff to get to, and we're going to continue with some Nerd Radio here in just a moment. Except it doesn't.
It does, you're right.
Because the show is over now. Thank you.
Damn it, Chuck!
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you nerds.
Have a great weekend!
See you later, nerds.
Hey, we're out!
You just told me to shut up.
Shut up, Al!
I'm gonna make you regret that.
All right, fine.
It also makes you incredibly mean.
Fair. This. Absolutely fair.
I am delighted right now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.